3 minutes past six. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, government increases peacekeeping allowances for military personnel. Dr. Yao Bai elected as new TUC Secretary General. Health Minister calls for more support to fund treatment of obstetric fistula. 2 new cases of polio reported in northern Nigeria, 2 years after the country was declared polio-free. And Kenyan athletics coach sent home from Rio after impersonating an athlete. President John Mahama has announced a $31 million increase in peacekeeping allowances from military personnel. The announcement at Adeba with the officers, men and several civilian employees of the Ghana Armed Forces was greeted with excitement. The mode of payment has also been restructured in a way that allows prompt payment of their money. A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
President Mahama had his day with officers, men and civilian employees of the Ghana Armed Forces. Not only did he have the opportunity to reiterate government's commitment to retool the Ghana Armed Forces, but he also announced an increment in peacekeeping allowances for personnel. Ghana has since 1960 contributed troops to UN peacekeeping operations in many troubled spots. Indeed, Ghana's peacekeeping role has been touted by many globally.
I'm always assured of the Ghana Armed Forces' determination to secure the peace and tranquility of the country. And I wish to assure you that government will continue to provide you with the equipment and logistics to be able to carry out the constitutional mandate that has been placed on your shoulders. Your major concern as far as external peacekeeping duties have to do a lot with the prompt payment of allowances. Since the late President J.E. Mills increased the rate to the current rate per day during the first few months of our administration, there has been no increment, and together with the Armed Forces Council and the High Command, we decided to increase by $1 a day the rate that is paid to peacekeeping soldiers to go out. And so an additional $31 per month will be added to the allowance that is paid.
Appreciate.
With the presence of the Commander-in-Chief, personnel of the service and some civilian employees put across some pressing issues that need to be urgently addressed. The questions range from the scrapping of some allowances, pensions, housing, and the like.
After serving the country for 25 years, you go home with something very little, which a businessman can take 1 or 2 months to get. Sir, I'm not comparing things.
And I want to talk about our pension. We civilian employees, we've been contributing to SNEC. And when we go on pension, it's 20 million they've been giving us. That's 2,000. And that's one. Most of our seniors who are going on pension, most of them die. They get stroke and they die. And I don't want to die when I go.
President Mahama took time to explain some of the issues raised on questions bordering on allowances. The president said their grievances should be directed to the Ghana Armed Forces Council, which will in turn consult with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission.
With regards to monetary and other issues, the Armed Forces Council and Fair Wages Commission are principally responsible for any allowances or increases in allowances or remuneration. And so with all the issues about allowances and pensions and remuneration, I think that it's something you should put to the Armed Forces Council and they should put to the Fair Wages Commission. And once it's approved, government is not averse to any such increases. Operational allowance is paid to servicemen. I'm not aware that civilian employees can claim operational allowance. But like I said, these are all to be justified, you know, to the Armed Forces Council and to the Fair Wages Commission. If a proper justification is made for it and it's approved, of course, it will be included in the budget and the payments can be made. With regards to the risk allowance, it was consolidated into the salary. And so the fact that it doesn't appear as a separate item does not mean that it is not increasing. Anytime you get an increment, the risk allowance, which was consolidated, also increases.
One issue that came up strongly was accreditation of training schools within the service. The military personnel are worried about the fact that certificates received from the acquisition of trade from the training institutes are not recognized outside the military circles. President Mahama assured them that the issues will be looked at. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevu.
Meanwhile, The President and Commander-in-Chief of the Ghana Armed Forces, John Mahama, tasked the Ghana Navy to make the protection of the country's assets in the deep seas a major priority. According to President Mahama, most of the oil and gas discoveries made are in deep waters and at the mercy of pirates, hence the need to protect them. President Mahama was inaugurating the headquarters of the Ghana Navy at Burma Camp in Accra. Pascalina Dadova reports that President Mahama mesmerized all when he appeared in full military gear.
President John Mahama jumped out of his vehicle briskly, dressed this time not in his all-time favorite batik tie and dye or Smith-fit suit, but in a military gear, specifically a camouflage. As Commander-in-Chief of the Ghana Armed Forces, it was as though the spirit of military discipline had descended on him. He took the salute and inspected the guard of honor with military precision. President Mahama is the first civilian president of the Fourth Republic to have worn military fatigue. The naval headquarters is designed in the shape of a ship, a reflection of the Navy's role to protect and defend the country from any aggression from the sea. The previous naval headquarters was so old, and since 1996, efforts have been made to construct a new edifice. Former Chiefs of Naval Staff, late Vice Admiral E.O. Swansa, Rear Admiral John Benner, and Rear Admiral Joe Tribieto were commended for sacrifices to complete the ultra-modern edifice. The office complex is a two-story structure consisting of a command block, departmental blocks, a library, museum, gym, auditorium, and conference rooms. The architectural design is sited on a piece of land with plush landscape with well-groomed grass and fountains. Ironically, the Chief of the Defense Staff, Air Marshal Michael Samson Ojai, supervised the completion of the construction of the naval headquarters by ensuring that a large asphalted car park is provided for staff and visitors. Rear Admiral Peter Feidu is the Chief of the Naval Staff.
It is significant to note that in 2012, six new ships were added to the Ghana Navy fleet. Hitherto, the Navy had operated with only six unreliable old ships. Your vision to retool the Ghana Navy to protect our nascent oil industry, the dwindling fish stock, and to maintain security, law, and order in our maritime domain is well on course and is highly appreciated.
It is no doubt that the Ghana Armed Forces has benefited tremendously from logistics, training, and infrastructure projects under the Mahama-led administration.
This building is just one of the many projects that are currently underway for the benefit of the Ghana Navy. Indeed, over the last few years, a lot of efforts have been made by government to improve the accommodation situation in the Ghana Armed Forces. And I'm certain that you are the best witnesses to the marked improvements in both officers and ratings accommodation. As I speak now, government is constructing a 368-unit accommodation block for officers and ratings in Tema. This project is expected to be completed by the first quarter of next year for occupation. We've also acquired and developed a tract of land along the Volta Estuary for the establishment of the Naval Training Command and have just awarded a contract for the construction of staff accommodation at the new command.
With their core mandate of protecting the country's territorial waters, President Mahama tasked the Navy to step up surveillance in the deep sea.
It is widely acknowledged that Ghana's waters are the safest in West Africa, thanks to the Ghana Navy. It is very important at this moment to reiterate the point that all the oil and gas discoveries in Ghana so far are several miles offshore in deep water. The infrastructure associated with these offshore oil and gas industry are highly vulnerable to many threats, including maritime border disputes, oil theft, piracy, and armed robbery at sea. I expect a lot from the Navy in the protection of these assets in order to boost investor confidence in our maritime domain.
The Ghana Navy has two operational commands, the Western Naval Command at Sekendi and the Eastern Naval Command at Tema. Sekendi has no dedicated barracks for service personnel. President Mahama announced that government is in the process of acquiring land at Nchaban to build a modern barracks for the Ghana Navy. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevu, Accra.
Former President J.A. Kufuor has called for the constitutional changes that will extend the tenure of the president to 5 or more years. This, he believes, will enable an elected president to deliver on his mandate more effectively, considering the enormous challenges and structural impediments in the country. Former President Kufuor also wants a second chamber of parliament that will be nonpartisan and reflective of professional as well as institutional diversity. The chamber will take the place of the Council of State and be positioned to do more. Former President Kufuor's service at the 22nd Annual International Conference for the Society of Africa Philosophy and Studies at the University of Ghana, Legon. George Asikri was there for Radio Ghana.
The International Society for African Philosophy and Studies is a group of African scholars who are interested in issues that promote good governance and the general well-being of Africa. The 22nd annual conference brought together scholars from all over Africa and beyond to discuss democracy, justice, and development on the continent. Former President of Ghana, John Ajikum Kufuor, said China and other countries in the East developed largely due to the tenure of leaders, which is quite longer than what pertains in Ghana and other African countries. He also spoke against the winner-takes-all syndrome and advocated a second chamber, which will be made up of technocrats who will handle issues such as vetting of appointees, budgets, and other things that deserve professional handling. Former President Kufuor said even though corruption is real in Africa, it is being over-exaggerated by the West, fueled by sensationalism in the media and opposition elements.
4 years, I'm sure that's where a government doesn't show that it will allow the evolution of good governance at the right pace, that government is quickly removed. You should ask yourself how China, which used to be in the brackets of the developing world just 40 years ago, has now leapfrogged to a position that can be said to be only second to the United States. That is more because of its length of tenure, matter of things there. They may be fair Chinese, for instance. They may be bright, all right, but if you haven't been in office to learn the ropes of governance, how the political authority relates with the civil service and then to the larger public sector. So I am thinking if the government has any real potential to do good, perhaps 5 or 6 years, I would think also even allow 5 years. Definitely 5 years is better than 4. But 6, 7 years, you get to know.
The Vice-Chancellor of the University of Ghana, Professor Ebenezer Owusu-Odru, urged African scholars to research more into areas that have the potential of addressing the recurrent problems in Africa. He said the University of Ghana has a clearly defined vision and mission and is positioned to contribute its quota to the development of the continent. The president of the International Society for African Philosophy and Studies, Professor Joseph Abukuba, said philosophy is core to seeking answers to the challenges in Africa. He called on African leaders to look beyond structural challenges and critically examine the agency aspect which deals with attitudes and behavior of the people. About 24 papers are expected to be presented at the conference. The lead paper was presented by Professor Raymond Osei of the University of Cape Coast.
Georgia Secretary reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Government increases peacekeeping allowances for military personnel. Dr. Yalbai elected as new TUC Secretary General. Health Minister calls for more support to fund treatment of obstetric fistula. 2 new cases of polio reported in northern Nigeria 2 years after the country was declared polio-free. And Kenyan athletics coach sent home from Rio after impersonating an athlete. Dr. Anthony Yalba of the Public Services Workers Union has been elected as a new Secretary General of the TUC at the just-ended 10th Quadrennial Delegates Congress in Kumasi. Dr. Yalba takes over from Kofi Asamoah, who decided against a re-election after serving as the Secretary General for 8 years of 2 terms beginning in 2008. Dr. Yalba was elected unopposed. Until his election as the new Secretary General, he was the Deputy General Secretary of TUC, a position he held for 8 years. The elections were supervised by the electoral officials of the Electoral Commission, led by the Ashanti Regional Director, Cerebo Kweku. A total of 990 delegates were expected to take part in the elections. In the other contests, Reverend Richard Kisiyabua was elected unopposed as the substantive national chairman after holding the fort as the acting national chairman for some time. Reverend Yabua had the nomination of 16 out of the 17 affiliate unions of the TUC, with his only contender, Peter Lumo of the Health Services Workers Union, getting the backing of only one union, thereby disqualifying him from the contest in line with the election regulations of the movement. The first national vice chairmanship slot was given to Alex Nyako of UNICOF unopposed, while Philomena Abasanson of the Ghana Mine Workers Union emerged as the second national vice chairman, also unopposed. The Congress elected Joshua Ansah of the Timber and Woodworkers Union, who is also the Dean of General Secretaries, as a new Deputy Secretary General of the TUC. Additionally, an 11-member finance board was also chosen to manage finances of the TUC. The board is to elect its own chairman at a later date. 12 new circuit court judges and 7 magistrates have been sworn in at a ceremony in Accra. They took the oath of allegiance, judicial oath, and the oath of secrecy administered by the Chief Justice, Mrs. Georgina Theodora Wood. The Chief Justice entreated them to work diligently to enhance the image of the judiciary. The Judicial Secretary, Justice Alex Pukui Champong, in an address said in view of the recent judicial scandal following the piece by investigative journalist Anas Aremeyawa Nas, integrity was a key factor in the selection of the new circuit court judges and magistrates. We bring you a report by Beatrice Opong.
Addressing the new circuit court judges and magistrates, a Supreme Court Judge Justice Jones Duche advised them to adhere to the principles of natural justice and also rely on God for guidance in the performance of their duties. He said the bench is not a place for timorous persons and therefore urged them to be bold and courageous in their decisions. Justice Duche asked judges and magistrates to reduce the rate at which people are put on remand as they apply the sentencing guidelines effectively. The Attorney General and Minister for Justice, Mrs. Marietta Bru-Apia Opong, entreated judges to write judgments that can stand the test of time. The Attorney General said citizens have a right to comment fairly on any matter of public interest, but must be within the limits of reasonable courtesy and good faith. In a goodwill message, President of the Association of Judges and Magistrates, Justice Dennis A.J., reminded the judges and magistrates to abide by the oath of office. A representative of the Ghana Bar Association, Justin Amenovo, urged the newly appointed members of the bench to constantly upgrade themselves and be fair in their decision. He expressed the readiness of the bar to support them at all times, but warned that they would not also hesitate to expose judges who go wrong.
That was a report by Beatrice Opong. A member of the Afasha Planning Committee of the Ogua Traditional Council, Nana Kwekwenu, has refuted allegations that the NDC induced the council to break tradition with the lifting of ban on drumming and noise making. The ban, which is to be lifted on the 14th of this month, will be done today following rituals carried out at midnight. Speaking to Agatha Samon behind the news, Nana Kwekwenu said Nananum arrived at the decision after consultations with stakeholders.
Nothing of that nature comes from you. Perform the Amanzi like Ulumi. Take those, we call them Akonfo. They brought in their request if only they want to. And they agree. But not giving physical money to Nananu. It's not about them. Nananu will not do that.
So if there's not money there, were there drinks like schnapps?
When you bring schnapps, you haven't bring money. If you buy your schnapps, this is part of the Amanzi, the rituals.
Nana, are you not worried that other political parties will say that you favored a particular political party?
No, PPP came and we granted them. Tekos has been divided into two, Tekos South and Tekos North. The Tekos South constituency brought their parliamentary candidate. We prayed for him. He came and took a taxi call. We received everybody.
You heard a member of the Afasha Planning Committee of the Ogua Traditional Council, Nana Kwekwenu, talking to Agatha Samoa. Meanwhile, the Central Regional Secretary of the NDC, Samson Ahianu, reacting to the allegation, said the NDC as a party respects tradition and will not in any way dare induce Nananum with money to break it. He told Agatha Samoa that the allegation is unmerited and the decision by Nananum is not to favor, is not a favor to the party. He said the regional branch of the ruling NDC is poised for the campaign launch on Sunday, August 14.
This country, people seem to be politicizing everything that goes on. There is a ban on drumming and dancing. We all know.
This coincides with a program of ours. We thought it wise to approach the chiefs, the ASAF members, and then tell them our side of the story. They tell us they are going to approach the God and ask whether it is possible to help us. There are certain rituals you are supposed to perform. Of course, we respect tradition. We keep it out for these things to be done, but of course, to be pacified. What is wrong with that?
So the allegations that you gave them money does not hold water?
It does not hold water. But they are just trying to ask the chiefs. They should stop that. How much are we going to give this thing because of this thing?
So if it wasn't about the money and you were asked to bring something to, for instance, pacify the gods, it could have been drinks and, as I mentioned earlier, some schnapps.
Yeah, but they are traditionalists. They respect tradition. How do you say they don't regard the gods? The gods did not accept that this thing should be done and they just took money from NBC Chop and they are saying they are looking about. Why do you talk like that?
Samson Ahiani is the Central Regional Secretary of the NDC. The flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has called for the full restoration of the allowances due nursing and teacher trainees. He condemned the cancellation and subsequent partial restoration of the allowances by government as a knee-jerk approach to handling the issue. Nana-Addo was addressing NPP faithful at Adabo Krom in the Bia West district on the second day of his campaign tour of the Western Region. Correspondent Desmond Kuju is on the tour assault of this report.
The NPP currently have 8 out of the 26 parliamentary seats in the Western Region. Nana Akufo-Addo's tour is to explain the NPP's better alternative to the people. He said the party has well thought out solutions to challenges facing the country. Nana Akufo-Addo was also unhappy about alleged ethnocentric and religious comments by some political opponents. For his part, a former trade minister, Alan Chemateng, said the poor handling of the economy is the cause of hardship in the country, and therefore urged Ghanaians to vote for the NPP to turn things around. He said 300 projects have been identified under the party's proposed One District, One Factory initiative. The NPP campaign manager, Peter McMainu, stated that the party's agents will be vigilant at the polling stations.
Desmond Kuju filed that report. The Minister of Health, Alex Segbefia, has called for more support to fund the treatment of obstetric fistula. This is because treatment of the disease is expensive, especially for the poor and rural areas where the condition is said to be prevalent. The minister was speaking at the endorsement of actor John Dumelo as the brand ambassador for obstetric fistula. He will be working in collaboration with the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA. In news from elsewhere, 2 new cases of polio have been found in northern Nigeria 2 years after the country was declared polio-free. Nigeria's Minister of Health said a team is being sent to immunize children in Borno State, where the outbreaks have been reported. The Health Minister, Professor Isaac Adeoli, called the development a setback, but said the nation will do everything possible to handle the situation. More than 70 Republicans have signed a letter to the party's national committee head, urging him to stop helping Donald Trump's campaign. They said Mr. Trump's defensiveness and incompetence risks drowning the party in November's election. The letter said the party would instead focus on protecting vulnerable candidates in elections to the Senate and the House of Representatives. A Kenyan athletics coach has been sent home from Rio after posing as an athlete and giving a urine sample. Kenya said sprint coach John Azra presented himself as 800 meters medal hopeful Ferguson Rotich and signed the document for the doping test. Anzra, 61, was allegedly approached by a doping control officer who was looking for Rotich and asked to provide a urine sample, which the coach did. The International Olympic Committee has opened disciplinary proceedings into the matter but praised Kenya's Olympic body for its swift action. Chairman Keino said the committee did not facilitate Andres' travel to Brazil, adding that they do not know how he got there. To end the news, the main points again. Government has increased peacekeeping allowances for military personnel. President Mahama announced to Vesna Krat, thereby with the officers, men and civilian employees of the Ghana Armed Forces, who greeted the news with excitement. Dr. Anthony Yauban of the Public Service Workers Union has been elected as the new Secretary General of TUC. Dr. Yauban takes over from Kofi Asamoah, who has served for 8 years or 2 terms beginning in 2008. That ends the news with Abraham Donko.